Grace to you, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. For the 22nd of May, I'm your host, Paul White. I'm in Galatians 5, working through this tremendous passage, verses 16 to 26. And we've been in this several days. We're really early on in the run, too. There's so much good stuff here that we need. Today, I want to concentrate on the 17th verse, but as I was preparing, I realized that you really can't do justice to the 17th verse without the 18th verse. And there's this conjunction at the top of the 18th verse, that but, that shows us that whatever you just learned in 17 needs further explanation. And I think this is just another of a thousand examples we've given you, and I'm, of course, exaggerating there, but a lot of examples we've given you in all of our verse-by-verse studies of how you need context, okay? Here's what I want to do. Let's read Galatians 5, 17 by itself. See what we come up with. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So if you stop there, and that's all you have, you might have a very exciting sermon to preach. And that exciting sermon can start to come out through illustrations like, hey, you have two things happening inside of you. They're at war. You have a flesh and you have a spirit, and they hate each other. And your flesh wins so often so that you don't do the things you want to do. And everything I just said is actually scripturally correct if you just live in the 17th verse of Galatians 5. You got flesh, you got spirit, they're contrary to one another in constant conflict. The flesh will overrun you. It obviously, according to this verse, is way more powerful than the spirit. It wins, and it causes you to do stuff you don't like. Well, I got to tell you, that's a dark sermon. And I also got to tell you, I preached it a lot. In fact, I used to have, you know, the clever little illustration of two dogs at war inside of you. Black dog and white dog. Black dog and white dog are always at a fight. And they're both of equal, this is how I'd say it. They're both equal size, equal strength, equal intelligence, equal experience. If you let those two dogs fight, I didn't realize how weird of an illustration it was to be using dog fighting as an illustration for life in the spirit, but nonetheless, I did it. And I would say, if you let these two dogs go at it, which dog's going to win? And you go, well, that's impossible to know. And you go, well, what if all things are equal, which dog's going to win? And the only inequality is one dog gets fed more food, taken better care of than the other dog. And then, of course, the crowd goes, oh, well, the dog that eats the most is the dog that's going to win. And that's when you drop the hammer on your audience and go, that's exactly right. If you feed your flesh man's going to win. And if you feed your spirit man's going to win. And let me tell you something. I actually want to concede something here. There's a lot of reality to the fact, to what I think is a truth. And I think it's a universal truth. What you spend time on in your life does become more relevant. I mean, absolutely. If you spend time playing the guitar, you're probably going to get better at playing the guitar. I mean, I'm not saying you're going to become amazing at it, but you could probably get to where you're passable. How'd that happen? It wasn't luck. It wasn't favor. You practiced. I will say and concede, who wouldn't? It seems intelligent. If you feed into your base desires, you give in to all of these things, no matter how filthy, no matter how wretched, no matter how awful they are, you will get better at inviting chaos. You will get better at the cesspool of hell in your life, and it will increase, and you will see its effects. You know, same way as if you spent time investigating who God is and praying and seeking Him out and studying His Word, would you get better at that? Well, of course you would. So there's an element of truth in it. I think it's why we also universally gravitate to the whole flesh versus spirit argument. Problem is, it's an argument standing alone in the context. It needs help, and Paul knew it. It's why verse 18 exists. And notice the first word, but. So whatever you just read in 17 has more information needed, and it is attached in the 18th verse, almost a codicil to what you just read. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, which is an amazing statement because verse 17 doesn't say anything about the law. Let's read them back to back. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you don't do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. What in the world does he bring law back in when the argument was not law versus Spirit? The argument was flesh versus Spirit. The reason he brings law back in is because for Paul, when he says flesh, he means law. You can stretch this all the way back to the fourth chapter. Remember when you got Hagar and Sarah, and you've got Ishmael, and you've got Isaac, and you got two covenants, and one's at Sinai, and one's in the spirit realm. One's a product of the flesh. The other's a product of the spirit or of promise. So for Paul, the war that's going on between the flesh and your spirit is not the war between the bad you that wants to sin and the good you that wants to do right. It's a war between the side of you that feels the necessity to perform versus the side of you that feels Jesus has performed. There's a side of you that feels like you should go to work to get God's favor, and there's a side of you that feels like Jesus has done the work for you to get God's favor. And when these two go to war with one another, the side of you, if you allow it, the side of you that feels performance is necessary will usually scream loud. He wants his way. He loves the glory of performing. And out of that will come a bunch of junk you don't want. So I think when we start to really get this, the whole experience of walking in the Spirit becomes less misty and mystical and becomes more a reality of here is what Jesus has done for me, and here is what it is bringing out in my day-to-day walk. Again, 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So let me ask you this. Are you led by the Spirit? Because, of course, that's going to be the great argument. Well, let's look at Paul in another passage. Romans 6:14. Sin shall not dominate you. You're not under the law. You're under grace. That's good news. Sin shall not dominate you. Here's Romans 7:4. Therefore, my beloved brethren, you have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may be married to one another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Notice that. You're dead to the law through what? Through your performance? Through your action? No. Through the body of Christ. Here's one more. 8:14. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So are you one of the sons of God by faith? If that answer is yes, then you are by default led by the Spirit of God. We'll move into verse 19 tomorrow. See you then.